psalm, all right, through the Psalms. And basically the whole subject is about the Word of God. And but some people think, you know, sometimes you've got psalms in there that are short, and it's something that the psalmist wrote and through something he was going through. But this is pretty much psalms that he wrote throughout his life. And we'll see sometimes he's praising, sometimes he's just praying to God. And we're going to look at a certain situation that definitely we don't know exactly what he was going through, but he was going through some difficulty and trouble. How many of you found out that in the Christian life, trouble still comes and finds you? Amen. And you can't get rid of it, but we know that in this life, we're going to have those things come along. I tell you, when I got saved, I was so foolish to think that when I got saved, I'd never have any more problems again. Boy, was I wrong. And I didn't have to go looking for problems. Problems came looking for me. But the Lord's helped me, and I've grown in my faith, and I thank God for it. But while you're turning there, I do want to say this. I didn't get a chance to tell everybody, thank you for Sunday morning. Man, for y'all honoring Brother Robbie, but also myself and my family. Man, we got cards and we got some money and stuff, and we got a few little things in the bag. And praise God, I got some mosquito spray. Amen. And preacher didn't tell that story exactly right when he was talking about it. So I'm just going ahead and tell y'all, give y'all that before we get in the message. But I'm trying to learn how to deer hunt down here in South Georgia because it's so hot. I mean, I ain't used to all that. It's about 15, 20 degrees difference between where I'm from. And usually by now, you know, you can go out and it's cool, and you don't have to fight the mosquitoes. Well, first time I came down here and first time I ever hunted, I'm telling you, I never seen the likes in all my life of mosquitoes. I was down in a swamp, and about the time I turned my headlight on and got up in the tree, God, it looked like bats flying around me, and it was just rough. And I had some spray at that time, and I didn't want to spray it, but I did. And then Brother Vic came to me, and we were talking about it. He said, you got to have a thermocell to hunt down here. I said, a thermo what? We didn't have to have a thermocell where I was from. And he felt so sorry for me. He bought me one. And so I took it out, and man, was amazed how it worked. Well, that morning I went hunting, I had my thermocell, and I thought I had an extra cartridge. And I did have an extra cartridge, but it don't do you any good when it's empty. And I didn't know that till the night before. I was getting my stuff ready, and Teresa had went and bought some brand new mosquito spray that's supposed to be odorless, all right, outdoors or whatever it was. And she didn't tell me that it didn't, that the thing was messed up. It wasn't spray. Well, I put it in my bag just in case. Sure enough, I was covered from, I mean, I had my gloves on, and all you could see was my forehead and my eyes. And sure enough, by crack of daylight, I heard them things buzzing around, and my head got to itching here, and I went up there and I scratched it, and got to itching over here, and I went up there and scratched it. So I thought, well, I'll get some of that spray. Just go ahead and break it out, Brother Herman. And I got that spray and went to spray it. Sure enough, it wouldn't come out. So I thought, here's how smart I am. Let me tell you how smart I am. I thought, I'll just take my hands and put them over my face, and I'll just take a finger every once in a while and just maybe do like that. And, you know, maybe not spook the deer, but keep the mosquitoes off. Next thing I know, man, I had welts all over my forehead. One hit me right between the eye. I got down, came home. Amen. I said, I'm done with that. Amen. So that was the joke with the mosquito spray. All right. Praise the Lord. So anyway, thank y'all for the mosquito spray because I'm going to use it. Amen. Well, if you got your Bible and you're in the book of Psalms 119, say amen. All right. Let's go to verse number 81. We're going to go through 81 and 88. All right. Give you a minute to get there. 81 through 88. Bible says, "Hear, my soul fainteth for thy salvation." David said, "But I hope in thy word." He said, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law, and all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me." He goes on and he says, "They had almost consumed me upon earth." I'm glad for that almost in there. How many of you are glad God's fighting the battle for us? He said, "I'm almost been consumed." He wasn't consumed, but he was almost consumed. And the Bible says here, he said, "But I forsook not thy precepts." He goes on in verse 88 and he says, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now we see, even in this short time that we've read, we see that David is being persecuted. I don't know exactly what all is going on right here in his life, but I know he's having some persecution from those around him, from those who are not honoring God, from those who don't even care about God. So he's being persecuted, and he's kind of in a bad state in his life. He's going through a trial, and he's going through something that he does not want to go through. And how many of you would be honest with me tonight that we find ourselves oftentimes going through things that we just didn't sign up for? And here's what got me stuck a couple of weeks ago. I've just been trying to take through Psalm 119, read through the book of Psalm here, Psalm 119. And I got hung up on this verse in verse number 83. David said this, "For I am," not that I'm becoming, but he said, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Now we know in this short little chapter here, or this short portion here in Psalm, that he's struggling with something that he does not want to go through. We know that he's got persecution coming upon him, but a phrase that he said right here stuck out and grabbed a hold of my heart when I was reading it. He said, "I have become," or "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." If you study that, you'll find that that bottle was basically a wine skin. It was basically what they kept wine in, or what they stored their drink in, or water, and it was made out of animal skin. All right, back then, that's how they had to do it. They sewed it up, and they had a bottle, and they would keep their wine in it, they'd keep their water in it, whatever it might be. But David said, he said, "I've become like a bottle in the smoke." Now begin to think about that. And I found out that oftentimes that they would take that bottle when it was empty, and they would take that wine skin, what held that wine or that water, and they would put it up, they would hang it up in their tents, and they would build a fire, and that smoke would begin to dry out that bottle or that wine skin. And it would begin to dry out, and that smoke, if you've ever been around smoke, how many of you know that smoke sometimes can, man, not be a blessing, right? It can be a burden to you. But that smoke, what it would do is it would actually take and it would begin to take and smoke up the tin, and it would smoke that wine skin to a place to where, how many of you know what I'm talking about here, to where sometimes when smoke is smoldering, there's soot, right? And what would happen, the heat would come off of that fire and that smoke would begin to rise, and then that bottle would start becoming brittle. It would start looking different. In other words, it would start changing from being useful to being useless, because the water would dry out of it. Are y'all with me? It would change. In other words, just the time that it was in that smoke, that bottle would transform into something that could not be used. Boy, you ever felt like that? When you're going through something? David said that I am become like a bottle in the smoke. In other words, he is in that place. He is in that time. He is in that trial. And he said, you know what? I've come to a place that I don't want to be. And I've come to a place to where I feel useless. And I've come to a place that I don't know if God can use me. Have you ever been there? But I like this. This is not the end of the psalm. I'm thankful for that, because I'm glad that through all this psalm, it's not a psalm of praising God, but it's a psalm of prayer to God. And I sure am glad. How many of you glad when you are going through a trial in your life and you think the difficulty is too hard, and you think the smoke is smoldering to a place to where you can't see clearly and you can't think clearly and you can't operate clearly and you feel like you're useless? How many of you glad God is still in control? I just thought about that thought, and I'm going to preach on tonight, because we went through the book of James, and we found out that James even told us in James 1:2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the diverse temptations or trials." Boy, have you arrived there yet? I haven't. Count it all joy when you fall into those diverse temptations or trials. And he goes on and he tells us in James, he said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In other words, we learned that that was a maturing process in our life, right? Now, I don't like the trials no more than you do, but at the same time, we cannot avoid them. Why? Because they are going to come. He said, when you fall into diverse temptations into those trials. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 4:12. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Here we see that David, no doubt, by reading those verses, we find him in a trial because he says, "I'm become like a bottle in the smoke." And I believe this is referring to the very trial that he's going through, and that he feels like that he just can't get out of it. And I thought about that, and how many of you have built a fire at times, and they always say that fire, that beauty of fire attracts smoke. Well, praise God, I must be beautiful. Because every time I get around a fire, guess what? That smoke is coming my way and I'm trying to move from it. And man, it's aggravating. It's burning your eyes and you smell like the smoke. And man, my dad used to smoke them cheap cigarettes. Y'all, I'm talking about, he didn't get the Winston, the good kind. He'd get them old cheap kind. And I remember riding around with him and he'd take me back home and man, I'd smell so bad because of the smoke that was coming off them cheap cigarettes. In other words, how many of you know when you're around the smoke, guess what? It changes things. And you and I are going to go through some trials, and guess what? It's going to change us too. It's going to change some things too about us. And I thought about that. Now, I want to preach on the subject tonight, or the title I've got for the message tonight is, "When the Smoke Still Rises." You know what David said? He said, I'm a bottle. He says that in verse number 83. He said, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." He said, "I can't get out of it." He said, "The smoke is still rising. The trial is still here. The trial is still burning, and the smoke, the results of the smoke." Is anybody listening to me now? I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. But the smoke, in other words, he's saying, "I've become a bottle in the smoke." He said, "I want out of this, but I can't get out of it." It doesn't mean that God's not going to bring me out of it. It's just that I'm in it, I want out of it, but I'm going to stay in it because God's in it with me, and I know eventually I'm getting out of it. Right? Because there's going to be some trials you and I go through, and listen to me. Now's not the time to get out of church when you're in the smoke. Now's not the time to walk away from God when you're in the smoke. Now's not the time, listen to me, to avoid preaching from the Word of God when you're in the smoke. How many of you found him faithful when the fire is burning of the trial going through your life and it's smoky around you even though you can't see clearly? Thank God. I sure am glad God will put a word down in your heart that'll keep you moving for the glory of God. Amen. I want to talk about tonight, if I can, when the smoke still rises, and we see how that David, he was going through this particular trial, and he said, "I become like a bottle in the smoke." And how many of you saved tonight ain't ashamed of it? Come on. How many of you, if you be honest, you don't have to raise your hand tonight, but how many of you would say either you are going into a trial, you are in a trial, or you're coming out of a trial? Some of the most difficult trials that I have ever been in are those that I can't seem to get out of. Things are still, the world's moving on, the church is moving on, but right in the middle of my trial, seems like I can't get out of the smoke. But I'm going to tell you tonight, thank God, I sure am glad I got a Bible. Sure am glad I got the Holy Spirit. And I sure am glad I got a word from God tonight that I can and you can and we can persevere in times of the heated trials in our life, no matter how much the smoke rises around us, because some facts that I find right in here in the Word of God. I'm going to give you some of them tonight. Number one, I want you to notice, first of all, if we're going to persevere in times of heated trials, I'm going to give you number one, is found in verse number 83. He said this, he said, "For I am become." In other words, we are not exempt. We got to understand tonight, we are not exempt from damage. We are not exempt from damage. I thought about this. I thought about how that David, he's king, he's anointed, he's one that is not, he's one that when he shows up to a battlefield, guess what he's going to do? Y'all remember when before he brought down Goliath, the Bible said he ran down there and he shouted for the battle. In other words, he was a warrior. He was a fighter. Are y'all with me? David was a man's man. He was God's man. He was a man after God's own heart. And he found himself in this trial, in this smoke. But yet, you know what he did? He realized that even though he had a trial in his life, those trials sometimes bring damage into our life. Now, you got to get honest with me tonight. How many of you feel like after you've been saved and you went through a trial that you weren't expecting, you got damaged? I thought when I got saved and especially surrendered to go into the ministry and give my life to serving Jesus, I thought I'd never get hurt like I've gotten hurt. I thought I'd never go through some things that I've been through. I thought I'd never be talked about like I've been talked about. I thought I'd never been, right? I thought my family wouldn't go through a trial like we've been through a trial spiritually before, mentally, physically, all those things. And I want to tell you tonight, even though you may have to go through some trial, you got to understand if it happened to David, probability is it's going to happen to you and I. And we must recognize tonight that we're not exempt from the damage that comes along. You're not exempt. I'm not exempt. Just because I'm called to preach, I'm not exempt. Just because you're a missionary, you're not exempt. Just because you're faithful to the house of God and the work of God, you're not exempt from the trials of life. And David, you know what he did? He understood that, hey, you know what? I feel like I've become a bottle in the smoke. And here we see some damage that took place through the trial. Notice, first thing I thought about was just what smoke does. Anybody ever had any smoke damage? Man, it can do some terrible things, can't it? I thought about the smoke and how that, you know what? The damage oftentimes is it brings darkness. Right? If you're a firefighter, if you know anything about firefighting, guess what? You can't see when you go into a building where there's smoke. That damage is caused and there's a darkness. And I thought about that, how that, man, sometimes these trials that we go through that we can't get out of sends us to some dark places. Dark places in our mind. Dark places in our feelings. Are y'all with me? And David, he found himself to a place to where he had been damaged. And you know what? He said, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. He said, man, the darkness has covered me. He said, I feel like I'm covered in darkness. He said, I feel like I can't see the right way I need to go. But yet, may I remind you, even though David felt like a damaged vessel, I sure am glad that God still uses damaged vessels. The damage of the darkness. Let me ask you this. How dark is it in your trial? You feel like you can't get out of the smoke? Thought about the smoke and the damage in its darkness, but you know what? There's a damage because guess what happens? That smoke begins a drying process. And the moisture that bottle held so that it would be flexible is now becoming dry to where it becomes brittle. And when it becomes brittle, it becomes fragile. I mean, have you had some trials in your life? Not only you find yourself the damage of the darkness, but man, you get dry. Or one time, maybe once you were, man, as soon as the choir struck up, son, the choir started singing, man, your tears would roll down your face and you'd be so full of joy. But now you're going through something you have no control over and you want to get out of it, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a dry place. Saying, I wish I had my joy back. Are y'all with me? Come on, be honest with me. Because sometimes I wish to say, hey, most of the time I'm shouting by faith, not by feeling. I promise you that. Because I know even though I may have not seen God come through yet, I've seen Him come through enough to know that, praise God, I like that song. Hey, I know He'll be enough for me. Amen. Because He's going to come through. But oftentimes, when we're damaged by the darkness that comes and settles in on our minds and in our feelings. We're damaged by the dryness that comes and all of a sudden we become brittle. And used to, man, we were flexible and man, things didn't bother us as bad as they used to. But now somebody can say something to us and somebody can look at us wrong and somebody can just assume that they're doing something, and next thing you know, guess what? We're blowing our top. We're getting upset. People don't even know if we're a Christian, right? The damage of its darkness, the damage of its dryness, all moisture's gone. It becomes fragile. How fragile are you right now through your trial? Smoke, the damage of its discoloring. You know what it does? It looked a particular way before the smoke began to damage it. And what it looked like, it doesn't look like now. Well, have you ever been through a trial like that? I can tell when somebody's going through something difficult. You can too. Why? Because the countenance on their face changes. Nobody may not know, but man, you're vibrant, you're lively, and you come in, and all of a sudden your countenance changes, something changes in your life because a trial has come in, and I can tell, and you can tell if I'm sitting in the smoke, because the smoke brings damage, and guess what it does? It not only brings a darkness sometimes, it brings a dryness sometimes, but you know what? It discolors us too. And you know what David was thinking in his mind? He said, I've become like a bottle in the smoke. He said, you know what? This trial that's come into my life, it's transformed me to something I did not realize I'd become. One day he's king. And he's living like a king. He's believing like a king. Everybody looks at him like a king. David says, I sure don't feel like one. And in my eyes, I ain't what I think I ought to be. Are you with me? Man, I thought about that. How oftentimes God allows us to be damaged. Listen now, we're not exempt from it though. If it happened to David, guess what? It's going to happen to me. If it happened to David, it's going to happen to you. And I thought about how that even though we're damaged vessels, how many of you could honestly say to me tonight, with me tonight, there's been times that you've been damaged by the trials in your life, right? And then all of a sudden you know that there's a trial burning and the smoke is just consuming you. And it seems like you can't get out of it. And then you begin to wonder, will God use me? Can God use me? Will God ever do this? Will God ever do that? And then you begin to look at yourself through the eyes of the trial and not through the eyes of God. And if you look through the eyes of the trial in your life, You'll see yourself in a light that God never intended you to see yourself in. You become damaged. You'll become depleted. You'll become dry. You'll become discolored. But I thought about some people that God used. He used some damaged vessels. Listen to this. Somebody said one time, before God can use a man greatly, he must wound him deeply. Before you can bless, you must bleed. Before you can help, you must first hurt. Listen to this now, people that God, some damaged people that God used. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by the Lord in a wrestling match. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, we know this, he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and falsely imprisoned. Before Job's estate was doubled, we learn this in revival, he lost everything he had, including his family, his fortune, and his future. But yet, God used a damaged vessel. Well, I like it, amen. Before Moses became the great deliverer, he lost his position, his possessions, and his popularity. But thank God, God wasn't done with Moses. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he went through the wilderness. Before Samson crushed the Philistines, he was blinded. Before David became king, right here we see he's king. He was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. But yet God still used him. Before Hosea, if you know anything about the book of Hosea, Hosea became a powerful spokesman for God. His wife betrayed him and returned to prostitution. But yet God wasn't done with a damaged vessel. Peter, we know, preached 3,000. Before Peter preached to 3,000 souls into the kingdom, he denied his Savior 3 times and went out and wept bitterly. I thought about that 3 there and how that 3 represents the 3 denials that he had, his failure that he had, and the damage that had been done. But on the other side, when he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? God turned that 3 into 3,000 converts for the glory of God. I'd say God still uses damaged vessels. Hallelujah. The trial you're going through and the trial I'm going through, it'll damage us. I promise you that. It's going to damage you. But I got good news. God's going to use a damaged vessel. Amen. Paul, we know Paul before he brought the gospel to the Gentiles. He was blinded on the Damascus Road. I'd say this, according to that, God still uses damaged vessels. See, here's the thing about living in the smoke when the smoke's rising from the trial you're going through. You're not exempt from the damage. It's going to be hurtful. It's going to be painful. It's going to be, I'm ready to get out of this. But know this, even though you may go in it one way, you're going to come out a different way for the glory of God. Amen? How many of you are thankful he still uses damaged vessels? Are you being honest about the damage that has been done because of the trial you've been going through? Think about that. Do you understand God's still wanting to use you in spite of the very damage that's been caused from the trial? I can't tell you how many times I want to give God glory and praise tonight, because over the 20 years that I've been saved, I've had some difficult trials to come. Bible says to be instant in season and out of season. And how many of you know that the seasons can change just like that? And it amazes me that God, because I have not handled the trials well. I've got like David and said, boy, I'm like a ball in the smoke. I look dark. I don't even look the same. I don't even think God can. I'm a little brittle. If anything else comes my way, it's going to break me all to pieces. I can't take this anymore. Only to find God faithful in the midst of it. Praise God to pick me back up and use me one more time. Don't quit on God, because God ain't quitting on you in spite of being damaged. Amen. So if you and I are, if we're going to persevere through our trials, and when the smoke rises in our life from the trials, you got to understand, I got to understand, we're not exempt from the damage. Number two, not only we got to understand we're not exempt from the damage, but number two, we must exercise discipline. Now this is going to be a tough one on us. We got to exercise discipline. Now how many of you would agree here, according to these verses, that David is going through a trial? David is a place where he feels like and he senses he's been damaged because he's like a bottle in the smoke. He can't get out of it. But I want you to notice how that David begins to show us that he exercises discipline. If you and I ought to get anything tonight, I want you to get it tonight. When you and I are going through a trial, before we go into it, right in the middle of it, when we come out of it, we got to be disciplined in some spiritual things. How many of you believe tonight, you know tonight, that Satan's doing his very best to knock you and out, you and I out of the game when it comes to the Christian life? I thought at one place in my Christian life, and being a gospel preacher, I'd arrive to a place to where Satan would never bother me anymore. I'd never have any more temptations. And then I found out that even Jesus was tempted. Amen. Satan did everything he could to knock Jesus out from the get-go when the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted. May I remind you tonight, you're not ever going to arrive to a place, and I'm never going to arrive to a place, that Satan's not going to try to do everything he can to bombard us, to get us out and get us bitter toward, here we go, not only toward each other, but toward God. Because this ain't fair. This ain't working. Why me, Lord? You ever ask that question? Why now, Lord? I'm glad that David teaches us that he exercised a discipline. Look at verse number 81. I want you to notice this. He says this in verse number 81. He says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. But notice what he said now. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Do y'all see that? He had a discipline to hope in the Word of God. That hope means to trust. He said, even though I'm fainting for His salvation, I'm waiting for His deliverance, I want Him to come through. He's not come through yet. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I wish somebody would go to church with me tonight and help me. Hey, he said, well, this is what He's going to do. He said, I'm going to hope in Thy Word. He said, if anything's going to get me through this trial, it's going to be Your Word. He said, I will trust in it. That's a disciplined exercise. You know what he's done told himself? I'm going to do it. I'm going to hope in His Word. I'm not going to treat it like it's just words on paper. I'm not going to wait till the preacher stands to preach it on Sunday morning and say amen to the preacher. I'm going to praise God, trust in not of the word of the preacher, but in the word of Almighty God. My hope's in His Word. Man, that just don't happen, y'all. You got to trust in that word. You got to believe in that word. You got to discipline yourself to say that when the trial before it comes, even right in the middle of it, oh, somebody help me right here, even on the past, even when you ain't even got any trouble coming, hey, there ought to be a discipline in your life and in my life to say, hey, we're going to trust and we're going to hope in His Word. Because how many of you found out that the Word of God's all we have to keep us right and keep us leaning on the Lord? David, he had a exercise discipline because we see that he had hope in His Word. Not only that, but he shows us his discipline in that he searched the Word. In verse number 82, he said, "My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me?" You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, when my eyes fail for thy word, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the Word of God, even if my eyes fail me in reading it. He said, it's vitally important because I can't see clear in the trial, but God help me. Y'all better help me tonight. Because listen, if you don't get this, you will not live a victorious Christian life. I'm going to come down here for a minute. Listen to me. If you don't get this tonight, are you listening to me? How many of you know we're not exempt from damage of trials? But we got to exercise spiritual discipline, because the Word of God will never, ever, ever fail us.
That's right.
I have failed the Word of God. You have failed the Word of God. But God's Word, thank God Almighty, will never fail the child of God.
Amen.
So how are you treating His Word? Before the trial. In the trial. And after the trial. If I don't have hope in His Word before the trial comes, how many of you know? The trial, guess what? If I'm a bottle in the smoke's still rising, I might not make it. But David, we see, made it. Because what he did was, he didn't start blaming everybody. Even though he had some persecution come, even though he said these things and these people are coming after me and they're coming after destroying me and this is a hard time in my life. But what he did was he didn't focus on the trial. He focused on the truth of the Word of Almighty God. Are you with me? Say amen. You and I got to exercise that discipline. We're living in the last days, y'all. Satan doing everything he can. The first thing he did in the Garden of Eden was twist the Scriptures. Half God said, let me tell you something, not half God said, God did say. And David knew that God had done some things for others before. There was some that had had difficulty and trials before, and yet David said, if God can do it for them, I'm going to get in it, and if my eyes get tired and my eyes get weary and I can't even get to where I can even read it, I'm going to keep reading it, I'm going to keep pondering on it, because I know eventually God's going to send a word that's going to comfort my soul. Boy, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Some of the darkest times you'll go through, you need some light, and that light is the Word of God. Amen. He was disciplined. He was disciplined in his life to hope in the Word. He was disciplined in his life to search the Word. How many of you has ever been on one that, y'all know where, let's see, Dahlonega? Been around Dahlonega before? Around close to our area? Go up around Dahlonega, you go in the mountains, they've got them mining places. They put them fake gems in the bag of dirt. Cost you $50. You get it for your kids. And you know it ain't worth nothing. They ain't going to find no gold. But man, how much they love going through that. Why? They searching through all that, right? Man, they going through the dirt. Man, I don't care nothing about the dirt. They looking for them gems. Any of y'all ever done that for your kids or your grandkids? Man, we've done that before. You go through that dirt and then you find a gem, but it's a fake gem. It's of no value. But it looks good, right? It's no value. David said, I'm going to search through the Scriptures. Praise God, when I come up with something, it's going to be a value where I'm at.
Right.
Amen. You only find that when you search. And he searched it. Amen. How many of you thankful for the word of God tonight? Amen. Not only he put trust and hope in his word, he was disciplined to hope in his word. He was disciplined in the search of God's word. He was disciplined to remember God's word. He said, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He said, it's in my heart to remember. It's on my mind to remember. He was disciplined in remembering the word. He was disciplined not to even forsake the word. He said in verse 87, he said, but I forsook not thy presence. You know what he's doing all through these verses? He's saying the word of God is important to me. I need it. I need to be disciplined in it. And he said, I'm going to hope in it. And I'm going to search in it. And I'm going to remember it. I'm not going to forsake it. He said, even though the trial's tough, he said, I'm still going to obey God and his word. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to, hey, put it in just reverse and go backwards. Now's not the time to put it just in cruise control. Praise God, now's the time to get a word from God. And praise God, get moving for the glory of God. Even in the months of trials. Amen. I thought about how that David, he exercised discipline. He hoped in his word. He searched the word. He remembered the word. He didn't forsake the word. And then we see all through there when he says thy word, he's talking about, he's not talking about God, but he's talking to God. So he had a discipline to be in the word and had a discipline to pray. The Bible said effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm telling you, if we ever needed to pray, it's now, it's today. Have a discipline. My grandmother, she's going on to be with the Lord now, but man, she was a character. She was one of them one of a kind. I mean, you met her, you thought, whew, she rough, she tough. My grandmother was. She'd tell you, she didn't care about hurting your feelings. She just tell you, she one of them kind. Just tell you point blank, don't matter. Like it, lump it, don't matter. She'll say it like it was. My grandmother, growing up, she was always afraid of the water. She was scared to drown. And they even said that even when she'd put water in a bathtub, she'd only fill it up for so far because she was literally afraid that she would drown in the bathtub growing up. So she had a fear of water. She had a fear of getting in water. She never would. When all the kids got out of the house and we got kind of a little bit grown, old enough to swim and all that kind of stuff, she come up with a wild hair. She just wanted an in-ground swimming pool. None of that made sense to us. I thought she does not. Now it's just her and my papa. Now my papa's working all the time and he don't care nothing about a swimming pool because he's going to have to take care of the thing, right? He's going to clean it and all that stuff. And if you've ever had one, I grew up with one and it's work. Amen. And she was like, I want one. And what grandmother wanted, praise God, she got it. Amen. She's just that kind. Sure enough, they put an in-ground pool. Amen. It had one of them good diving boards. I'm talking about just flexible diving boards. She had it. I'm talking about fixed up nice and scared to death to get in the water. But you know what? One day she decided that she was just going to put a life vest on. She got her a life jacket, went and bought her a life jacket. And we told her, said, Grandmother, you ain't ever going to get in that water. She said, maybe eventually one day I might. So she put her a life vest on. Sure enough, one day she got over there and she sat on the edge of the front, top step, just put her feet in the water. With that, I'm talking about having a life vest on. Are you with me? That's jacked up. Can I get a witness? A life vest on and she's got her feet on the first step in the water. Well, she'd do that for probably weeks, months on end. Next thing you know, she goes down to the second step. She's hanging on to that. You know that rail that goes down those steps, she's hanging on to it with that life vest. Got her feet. Are y'all with me? She was tickled to death because she was getting in the water. She had a fear of water. We'd go in the deep end. We'd be splashing around and we'd be having a good time. And seriously, she's scared to death over there. And she wouldn't come on out. She was going to stay right where she was at. But eventually, she got all the way to the bottom of that step, still holding on with a life vest on. Getting wet. Now I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Getting wet. So finally, eventually, she finally got all the way to the shallow end and she would actually get to where she'd go around the edge holding on with that life vest. She never would go out in the deep end. So what are you saying, preacher? You know why a lot of people fail to exercise discipline in the Word? They actually got fear to get in it because you don't think I'm smart enough. You don't think I can understand it. You got to be a preacher. You got to be a teacher. You got to be something. And seriously, the preacher, he can do it. Boy, he can do it. And that one can do it. And she can do it. And she can explain it. He can do it. But I don't know. I don't think I could ever. How many of you got Jesus? How many of you got Jesus? Jesus has got you. Guess what? If you got Jesus, you can get in the water. She had a life vest. In other words, as long as she had the life vest, she wasn't going to drown. Right? She was fearful she was going to drown or something she wasn't going to drown in. But she never got, and I'm going somewhere, she never got to the deep end. But she got in the water, got to enjoy the water. And it don't matter whether you go shallow or whether you go deep with God's Word. If you get in, praise God, you'll get wet and you'll enjoy it. God will bring some stability and comfort in your life and mine. What you waiting on? Last I checked, it took 3 verses for Jesus to quote to run the devil off. One preacher said all he did was get up that morning and do his Bible devotion out of Deuteronomy. Are y'all with me? They say that tornadoes and hurricanes, how many of you see them on the news, can do, in a matter of moments, do damage. But you know what does the most greatest damage to buildings besides tornadoes and hurricanes? Termites. They take one bite at a time and can bring down a whole neighborhood. If you'll take a bite at a time, is anybody getting this? Oh, you ain't got to eat the whole bale. I ain't seen a cow yet that can eat the whole bale, but he gonna eat on a little something, ain't he, to sustain him. And thank God, I sure am glad I got a word from God. I may not be the greatest theologian. I may not be able to go as deep as some, but I tell you what I have decided, and you ought to decide, we're going to jump in, get in, and praise God, let the Word of God do something in our life during our trial and give us a word of comfort. So, how are you disciplined when it comes to the Word? Amen. How are you responding when the smoke begins to rise from your trials? You run into friends, you run into family, you run into the preacher. How about let's run to God in His Word? Thank God. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done. I know I don't get to preach often. Y'all just hang on. I'll get there. Amen. What time is it? It don't matter. Don't look at your watch. Amen. We're going to get out of here. All right. Is anybody getting help tonight? Come on. Smoke's going to keep rising. Sometimes you're just going to be going through your trial and ain't nothing you can do to get out of it. But you got to realize you're not exempt from damage. There's going to be some damage that takes place that it might take a while to get over and get through, and some wounds that you're going to have some scars in your life. But guess what? God can still use those scars in your life. Amen. Damage, vessels, He can do it. And then we got to exercise discipline. The last one I'm done is not only we got to understand we're not exempt from damage and we must exercise discipline, but we must expect deliverance. Expect it. He said in verse 81, he says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. In 82, he says in verse 82, when will thou comfort me? In verse number 84, he says, when will thou execute judgment on them that persecuted me? He said in verse number 86, help thou me. He said in verse number 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. It sounds to me like David, not only he wasn't exempt from damage and he exercised discipline, but he expected a deliverance from his God. Can I say to you, he's still on the throne and the creator of the universe is still able, thank God, to deliver you and I, even though we're in the smoke of the trial that we go through. We still serve a God of deliverance. How many of you are glad he's faithful to deliver? There was an expectation through those verses that he said, I am waiting on my deliverance.
It's coming. Why? Because I've seen him deliver before. He's coming, praise God. Why? Because he's faithful to his word. Hey, he's going to bring me through it. If he brought me to it, guess what? He can bring me through it. And I'm expecting deliverance coming from my Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. Deliverance. But you know what? It's hard to believe that way sometimes when you got smoke rising from the trial. So I'm a bottle in the smoke. At least I'll tell you what, yeah, I feel damaged. Now I have been damaged. But it said, you know what, I'm going to stay disciplined. But I'm going to stay disciplined to stay in the Word of God. And let the Word of God stay in me. Then he said, hey, you know what, I'm going to expect God to deliver me. Because he's the only one. How many of you could say amen right here when God brings deliverance? You know it. I'm not talking about delivering you. Hey, man, they ain't no, I'm not talking about physically and I'm not talking about outwardly. How many of you know he can still part the Red Sea? Amen. I believe that. Amen. I believe he can still do things even in the outward part of my life around me. But I'm so glad that God does more in me when I'm in a trial. Amen. Caitlin, you come to the piano. I'm going to be done with this. I hope, I don't know if I got this out like I wanted to. I wanted to do probably better than I did. But the truth is, I find myself feeling like a bottle in the smoke just through the trials that I go through. Look back over my life. We sang that song a while ago, God's been good. He's been good, church. Satan's a good liar and he'll come along and say, because you're going through depression or because you're battling this disease or because you're, man, you've been through this divorce or whatever it may be, whatever that is. People go through bankruptcy and all kind of tragedies go, man, happen to us on this side of eternity. And it seems sometimes you're waking up in the morning, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never been there, praise God. Hallelujah. But I know this, trials do come. And then you'll find yourself sometimes like a bottle in the smoke. Just seems like you can't get out of it. But I sure am grateful that even though I find myself there and I find myself damaged by the things that come along. And oftentimes when I'm in those kind of places, you know who brings the most damage? Me. I'll go to blaming this or blaming them or blaming that. And I hate to admit it, I sometimes blame God. But in spite of all that, he doesn't throw the clay away. He'll make it over and over again. I don't know how fragile your bottle is tonight. I don't know. Maybe this won't bring anybody but me. I don't know. But probably about 2.5-3 years ago, as a pastor, I've never actually ministered to a family that lost a home to a fire. I've never done that. We had a couple, got a phone call one day, middle of the day, and they said, the Cantrell's house is caught on fire. This couple, they served God in our church. Man, they were faithful. They loved God, had a wonderful family, got to see them. Man, got to see their life get changed, got to see the kids get saved. I'm talking about Ian. Are y'all with me, Ian? I'm talking about honoring God, loving God. In a matter of a moment, their house had completely burned. I remember pulling up in that yard that day. I said, God, give me the words. I have no idea. I've never been through something like that. Some of y'all may have, but man, that day broke my heart. They were in the back. When I pulled up, I saw the devastation. Had 2 kids, completely gone, every bit of it. I went around back, and she was squalling her eyes out. Jason, he wasn't much to cry much, her husband. As soon as I walked around there, she grabbed me up, just broke down and said, preacher, it's all gone. It's all gone. See, what she couldn't see is what God could see a little later. What he was going to do for them. even though through this trial they was going through.
Jason come over there and all I could do, I couldn't say nothing. I said, I'm sorry. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. I'm sorry this has to happen to you. And he broke down, grown man. Said, preacher, why? Why us? Why now? You ever been there? I said, don't know. But God, this is what I kept telling him. Don't give up on God. Don't blame God. God ain't done yet. It looks like a tragedy. It looks like it's over. But oh, how they got to see the grace of God. Family come through. Friends come through. A whole community reached out. Came through for them. The church, man. Son, they came in and they would still stay faithful to the things of God. And they'd hit that altar. And man, the church just gathered around them saying, we love y'all. We'll do anything for you. Make a long story short. About probably 6 months later, they began to rebuild. They tore that whole house down to the slab. The insurance company told them, said, here's what we'll give you for this, that, and all that stuff. And come to find out, they rebuilt that house bigger, better, and it had more value than what they had before. Are y'all with me? Some of the trials you and I go through, we'll say, life's over. Why me? Why now? Only to find out God will build your life back better and stronger and of more value. Somebody help me tonight. How many of you glad? Even though sometimes we're damaged vessels, He'll build it back like He only can. How about you tonight? You say, preacher, I ain't going through a trial. Hang on. Preacher, I'm in one. Oh, trust God and His word. Stay disciplined. Amen. Stay with God. Because if God be for us, my God shall supply all of our need according to His riches. Amen. Would y'all stand tonight, and as you stand, how many of you join me around this altar tonight? Come pray. Maybe God's spoken to your heart somehow, some way. Maybe tonight you feel like a damaged vessel in your trial. Just come and thank God for the fact that He's going to be able to take what's been damaged and bring out more good out of it. Maybe you've got a family, or maybe you've got a friend that's going through a trial. You're not. Maybe you want to come down and pray for them tonight. I'd be honest with you, all of us ought to come find us a place and say, God, help me to stay more disciplined, to stay with Your word, to pray, so that when trials do come, I'll be steady and I'll be steadfast, unmovable in the Lord, in the things of God. How about you tonight? Would you come? You say, preacher, He ain't come through yet. Yep. But keep expecting deliverance in your life like David. He'll bring deliverance. He sure will. Don't give up on Him now, because He's not giving up on you. Will you come tonight and pray? Find your spot somewhere and pray. Maybe in your seat, you'll bow down before the Lord. Say, God, help me tonight. David said, I've become a bottle in the smoke. He said, the smoke's not cleared yet. Feel like damaged goods, but I know God's going to be faithful, because He's been faithful before. He's proved it time and time again. How about it tonight? Would you come, trust God, believe God? You've been forsaken by family, by friends, by people that you love. Feel like you're in a trial and a storm and a difficulty. Seem like it's a constant reminder of, you think I'm not valuable, I'm worthless. Why don't you come find you somewhere and know that God's made you valuable tonight through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved, the only way to heaven, you're valuable tonight. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. Bless His name.
Oh, I have a need.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder tonight, we've got a few minutes. We'll be done here in just a moment. But how many of you would be honest with me tonight and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." And listen, we give this invitation every time we come because it's the most important decision that you'll ever make. Because oftentimes we don't realize, but listen, it doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. Doesn't matter if you've ever been baptized or not. Doesn't matter if your name's on the church roll. Is your name written down in heaven? That's the question. How many of you could say tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt. I know that I have trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have believed in Him and Him alone to save me. I have put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I've confessed to Him. I've asked Him. And there's no doubt in my heart tonight that I know that if I leave this building tonight and I die, I'm going to heaven. I know it, preacher, and I ain't ashamed of it." How many of you throw your hand up real high and say, "Preacher, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen." Thank you. Put your hand down. Maybe there's one here tonight, you just couldn't raise your hand. Truth is, there's doubt in your heart. I know. I've been there. I know what it feels like. I know what it's like to go to church lost. I know what it's like to sit there and not know for a fact that if I died, I'd go to heaven. But you don't have to walk out the same way you came in tonight. Jesus is here and He'll save you. He loves you. He'll forgive you. I wonder tonight if you'd say, "Preacher," if you'd just be honest with me, say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand for certainty. I'm asking that you pray for me." I sure will. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to you. I promise you that. But I just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to know." Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Now listen, you had enough faith to raise your hand and recognize you're not sure. That's a good thing. Because the truth is, God's working on you and God's dealing with you. I remember that time. And I want Christians to help me pray. Because I know that there's a lot of people around here that are rejoicing if you get saved tonight. You recognize you need Jesus and you've just been doubting. I wonder tonight, I'm going to pray for you because I said I would. I'm going to do what I said. But I'm going to pray that God will give you courage to step out and trust Him tonight. You've already admitted, first thing in being saved, you got to admit you lost. If you do that tonight, guess what? You're one step closer to knowing for a fact you belong to God. Father, I pray for these that raised the hand. God, I want to thank you tonight. God, that you brought them here. God, I want to thank you that you're speaking to them. God, I'm thankful, Lord, you've made a way that whosoever shall call upon, Lord, you, Lord, shall be saved. God, I just pray tonight, Lord, as they've already recognized their need. No doubt I remember that very day, God, that I was so empty. I was so dark. I knew that there was no good in me. I knew that there was nothing I could do, God, to go to heaven because I knew within my heart I wouldn't go. But I sure am glad I heard the gospel. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you'll give them courage to step towards you tonight and be saved. God, I just ask you, Lord, to touch them. God, you said you'd save them if I called on you, and I'm trusting you to do that tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Now she's going to continue to play something. She's going to sing something here in just a moment. But if you're not sure tonight, here's what we're going to do. If you're a lady, I'm going to have my wife. She's going to stand down here beside me. If you're a man tonight, you raise your hand. Come on, Teresa, if you will, come out here. If you're a man tonight, as she begins to sing tonight, I want you to step out and I want you to come to me and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Listen, don't wait. Don't wait. How many Christians tonight would rejoice if somebody come walk these aisles and got born again? I will. I promise you that. Don't wait. Why don't you come tonight? She's going to sing a verse. Come on. Would you take us by the hand? Let's show you how to be saved tonight. God's working on you. Don't leave this building lost tonight. You're not promised tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to do anything out of place. I'm just trying to let you know that if He's drawing you already to acknowledge your need,
He's drawing you to be saved tonight. Why don't you come? Come on. Step out. Come on. God committed this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved His love on Calvary. He brought you here tonight to save you. He loves you unconditionally tonight. He's not looking for you to do anything else but to trust Him tonight, receive Him tonight, believe in Him tonight. Would you come? Come on. Do. Listen, tonight, the way I got saved, I didn't come to an altar. You don't have to come to an altar to be saved. You have to come to Christ. But I'm going to tell you how to be saved. This is what I'm going to tell you to do. I know sometimes people won't step out in big crowds. My dad, he never did want to be around big crowds. But he was saved. He just didn't want to be around. And I understand that. But it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's not with the steps of coming down an aisle. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession unto salvation. I'm going to tell you how I got saved. And I'm going to encourage you tonight. This is for those that may not know you want to be saved. I got along with God, just me and God in the middle of 6 acres of property. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know the Didn't know anything about church much except for me being raised in church, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer, but I knew that Jesus had died for my sin. And I believed that He rose again the third day to give me everlasting life. And here's what you do. You find yourself somewhere by yourself, whether it be in the car, whether it be in the living room. I've seen people get saved at the workplace. In your heart, you'll tell God something like this. I'm sorry for my sin. The best I know how, I'm asking you to save me. I believe in you, Jesus, that you died for me, that you rose again for me, and I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I promise you, if you do that with all your heart, God will save you right where you're at anytime. Church, say amen. I want to encourage you, listen. I want to encourage you because, listen, I hate to even leave. And let me tell you why. It don't get that much. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. But when you bury somebody in their 20s, life gets more precious. When they're that close to you. And I got to lead that old boy to Jesus. Amen. And he's in heaven. He thought he had the rest of his life. I'm not promised tomorrow, you ain't either. But you are promised salvation today. For today is the day of salvation. And God will save you. Here's what I want you to do if you call on Him. And you trust Him. Next time you see me, come tell us.
will rejoice. Amen. Well, church, if you're glad you came to church tonight.